Turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. As we conclude with the greatest sermon ever taught in the history of the universe, and that's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And it has been an incredible, wonderful journey these last months that we've been in here. And this is the conclusion of the greatest altar call ever given. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing. He's bringing it all to a close. Now, perhaps what you really need to understand about the close of our Lord here is that the close or the altar call started in verse 13. Verse 12 of chapter 7 ended Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And so if you've noticed the last several times we've been together, that there's been more of an intensity in the sermons. And the reason is because the Lord God is calling us to make a decision. And He is challenging you and provoking you. And He's telling us, like He did in verses 13 and following, when He said, listen, you are only going to be on two roads in this life. Every person that's ever been born and ever will be born, you're either on the narrow road that leads to life, which meaning you go to heaven, or you're on the road that leads to destruction. And it's broad, it's easy, and many go in thereby. That's the condition of this world, and part of the church is that they think they have eternal life, but they do not. And so He starts out that way and tells us only two kinds of life are possible for man, only two roads. And then we, of course, move from there and He starts talking to us about deceivers, the false prophets, the false teachers who come to us in sheep's clothing, but inside they are ravenous wolves. And they're there to rip you off and to destroy your lives. And He turns from deceivers to those who are being deceived. The ultimate deception are those who believe that they are saved and are not saved. Those are the ones that cried out, many, many. Jesus said, many, many will say unto me in that day, the final day, the day of judgment, will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. In other words, they called Him Master. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus will declare unto them, I never knew you. I never had an intimate relationship with you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, meaning an habitual lifestyle of sin. And the tragedy that we learned last week, are, as Jesus is closing this out, are those who experience the presence of God. They experience the power of God, but they never receive the person of God into their heart. What an incredible deception to walk in this life, to be in this life, and experience God's power, God's presence, and then miss the person of God. Because the whole thing was based on experience. I felt this or I felt that. But they never obeyed the Lord. And this morning, we move now. Jesus tells us, let me read these scriptures to you starting in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In verses 24 through 27, Jesus just told us something. And I pray that you receive this morning. I guess if I could put a title on it, you were building a house. How's that one? I don't know. That sounds good to me. Now, but here's what Jesus just told us in verses 24 and following. Whether you know it or not, whether you are aware of it or not, you are building a house right this moment. And there are only two houses that a man in the life that he has been given, A to B, birth to death, there's only two types of houses, meaning lives, that a man can build. And you are either building your house on sand or you are building your house upon the rock. There absolutely are not any other ways to build. There's not five ways to build or 10 ways to build. There's absolutely only two ways to build. And in this room this morning, in the sanctuary, there are those, I pray, that all of us are building our lives on the rock. But if I know anything about people, I would venture to say that there might be some this morning that are building their lives on sand. So I will probably this morning talk about those that might be building their lives on sand more so than those are building their lives on the rock, because if you're on the rock, you got it made. Amen? So when we look at this, the question is this. You can't escape it. Don't try. You will build a house, and you're going to build it, like I said, one way or another. It'll be on the rock or on sand. Now, let's look at the facts very quickly. Please don't let me have to read this again to you, but for the sake of time. But from verses 24 and following, the facts are these. You have two builders, and you have two men. Now, one of them is a wise builder, and the other one is a foolish builder. But what you need to see is that they both built identical houses. The only thing different about these homes would be the foundation, which you don't see. It's like I told the last two services, I said, whenever you go to someone's house, you don't walk in and whenever you enter the house, rip their carpet up and say, just wanted to check out your foundation. No, you don't do that. You walk into a house, you go, oh, that's a pretty picture. Oh, I just love the way you set your table, or where did you get this? You know how it is. You know, the men don't do that. The women do that. We walk in and just say, is there any food around? You know what I mean? And so, we're not foundation inspectors. Let's put it that way. So house is a house. Okay, we're building a house. So the other thing is that you have to understand in this closing statement of our Lord is that both men, the wise man and the foolish man, they both felt secure and they both felt safe in what they had built. The other thing is that from verses 24 and following, each house is going to experience the same condition, meaning the same trials, the same tests, meaning the floods, the winds, and so forth. And the only difference then would be that one house fell and one house didn't. See, Jesus said there, the rains descended, the floods came, plural, and the winds, plural, blew and beat on that house. Now, what is Jesus telling us? He's saying no matter which way you're building your house in this life, you will experience storms. You're going to have problems. You're going to have testings. It is universal. Every person that has ever been born and will be born will go through this. The difference is this, Christian, is that when you go through a storm, you may have everything in the world blown away from you, blown off of you, and maybe removed from you, and you may be shaken a little bit, but you're still standing. And the reason that you're still standing is you're in the one who created everything, Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. Now, those who are building their lives on sand, you're not going to stand. You're going to fall. And it's going to be a great fall. And Jesus said the same test comes to every house. He said the rain, look what it does. The rain, it only does one thing. It just descends. Now, first of all, let's clarify something. Do you think Jesus is talking about rain? No, he's using that. He's teaching us. He's talking about the trials of this life, the things that have come against us in this world. We're all going to have rainy days. Everyone in this room, listen, you might be having a rainy day today. I don't know. You may be having a blue Monday. Do you understand? Not prophesying, that's tomorrow. I hope you all have a happy Monday. But the fact of the matter is that you're going to have days of struggle in your life. You're going to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul told Timothy. If you desire to live godly in this life, you will suffer persecution, it says. Now, Jesus told us that we're going to have tribulation. Now, none of us enjoy that, but let's be frank with one another. We're going to experience trials and testings in this life. And so you may have a little rain come in, or you may really, it says, experience something greater than rain, meaning the floods, plural. And they come in. What does a flood do? A flood wipes out everything. It destroys. It takes a home completely off its foundation, and you watch your whole life being washed downstream. That's what a flood does. Floods destroy people's lives. They carry people away. And then the other thing that Jesus mentions here is the winds that blew and beat. That means it's a continuous blowing. Sometimes we feel like we're going through a trial, and it's a never-ending trial. It's, when will it end, Lord? It's just the winds continue to blow. Now, what do winds do? They remove things that are not secure in your life. They remove things that are not built upon the rock. So Jesus is explaining all of this to us. Now, a lot of times the winds that blow against us are demonic. They're not from God. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 59:19, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, it says that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But listen to me. You need to understand that if you're in a storm, Christian, then storms are subject to our Lord. What do I mean by that? Well, God's not going to let something blow through your life unless he knows what it is. You see, you belong to him now. Now, that doesn't mean that, well, you know, I'm going to walk in every day is just going to be perfect. I'm not going to have any problems. No, listen, did you know you can enter into a stormy period in your life because you've obeyed the Lord? You look at Joseph in the life of Joseph. You know, when he was carried away as a slave into Egypt, sold into bondage. He was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife looked at him with longing eyes and said, Joseph, lay with me. Have sexual intercourse with me. And Joseph said, how can I do this sin against your husband and commit this great sin against God? And because he obeyed the Lord, he was sent to prison. See, you can get in trouble for obeying the Lord. You think, oh God, why am I here? Well, you obeyed the Lord. And you can also get in trouble if you disobey the Lord. And then another type of storm blows through, that storm of correction or chastening, to train us and to keep us in the love of God. So storms are going to come and storms are going to go. But my Bible says in Psalm 107:29, he calms the storm so that its waves are still. Amen. You remember in Luke chapter 8 when Jesus was asleep there in the boat and they were crossing to the other side and the disciples there in the boat with Christ and the storm came in and they went to the master and said, oh, master, do you not care that we perish? Isn't that something? God sleeping. I was talking to my wife about that the other day. I said, I just looked at that and I said, the Lord asleep, God asleep, the creator of the universe asleep, the one by whom all things consist asleep. There he was. He wasn't worried about the storm. He knew what was coming. The disciples were the ones, they were worried. And they woke him up and said, Lord, do you know we're going to perish. Don't you care? Jesus, what did he do? He stood up and he rebuked the storm. He said, peace, be still. Actually, that in the Greek would be muzzled. And that's the same word he uses for the demons, be muzzled. So that storm had to have been from Satan. And of course it was, because we know on the other side was the Gadarene demoniac. And surely Satan didn't want him to be delivered. So storms can come into your life, but Jesus is the master over those storms. You have nothing to fear. But what I want you to look at there about the wise man's house, it says there in verse 25 toward the end, it says that after all the floods and the winds and all of that that beat on the house, look at those words, it did not fall. Now let me tell you why it did not fall. Look back at verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears, you should underline that, these sayings of mine and does them. That's what you should underline. Hears and does. That's the reason that your house is going to stand, is because you hear the Lord, the Word of God, and you put that into practice in the application. And it says, for it was founded upon the rock. It stood because it was a person whose life was in obedience to Christ. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through trials. It doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But let me tell you what it does mean. In the midst of your problems, in the midst of the storm, you can have a stable, secure life because you're in Christ. See, when you know that nothing can harm you, listen, when you know that, listen, Bill, I take 99 vitamins a day because I want to live to be 100. You know what? God knows the day you're going to die. Yeah, but these vitamins, well, maybe the Lord wants you to take them. Praise God, take them. But what I'm trying to say is this. The Lord already knows. You know, and you're saying, I'm going to prevent this. No, listen, the Lord, just take care of your body. Pray. Live the way God tells you to live and you'll be fine. You can't go wrong. I'm not saying not to take care of your body. And I'm not telling you not to eat right. You can hasten your death. I mean, if you're going to eat 5 gallons of ice cream every day, you might have a problem in your life, don't you think? Okay. Krispy Kreme donuts and all the rest of that. Tremendous sin. So when we look at this, you know, you want to have a life that's going to abide, that's going to be stable and secure. But look at the foolish man's house. It says in verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, and then there it is. What did the foolish man, he didn't do? Does not do them. He heard, but he didn't do, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, I want you to notice something. The foolish man built his house, but the wise man founded it. Look at the difference. Founded it upon the rock. For his house didn't fall. Why? For it was founded on the rock. Do a word study there. I'm not going to tell you what it means. The difference between founded and built. All right? So it says the rains descended on the foolish man's house. And look what it says. It fell, and great was its fall. My question to you this morning is this. What type of house are you building? Are you foolish? Are you wise? And that's a question that we should ask ourselves right now. Because the person who built the house on the rock, it was solid, it was stable. Now, it was patterned after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where you follow in His footsteps. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:2, there is no other rock like our God. He's our sure foundation. He's our security. He's our hope. But those that are built on sand, I want to primarily focus on that this morning. Because see, a person who builds, a Christian who says, hey, I'm a Christian, but you're building your life on sand, beware. Because see, a person who builds his house upon the sand is a hearer only. That's what it says there. You just hear God's word. See, sand loves to say this, or doesn't love it. They just say it. I believe the whole word of God. Do you believe? Yes, I do. But I don't obey it. But they think they're obeying it. You see, sand says, yes, I believe in loving my neighbor and forgiving my enemy and all those things, but they never obey those things. They don't do any of that at all. And they, even though they believe every word of God is true, there's not any obedience in their life. So what is the foundation that we want to make sure, church, that we're on? Well, in your Bible, in verses 24 and 26, you should underline these words, because here is your foundation. Jesus put it this way. He calls the foundation, these sayings of mine. These sayings of mine. Now, is Jesus talking about just the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7? No, Jesus is talking about the entirety of the Word of God. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 4, 4, that man would not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and that the Word of God is a lamp unto your feet. And that's what the Lord wants. Now listen, I want you to understand something. I realize that the house that we are building through the grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ, okay, is a lifetime process. So I don't want anyone to leave here this morning going, you know what, I'm in trouble. Now you may be in trouble, but I'll clarify through the Word if you're in trouble in a moment. But to build upon the rock is a lifetime. In other words, the moment you come to Jesus, you're not just, hey, I'm the Apostle Paul. Now, some of you may think that, but you're not. Do you understand? You're not instantly Moses or Elijah, the prophet. No, you know, you're not that at all. You're born from above. And you know what? You start out like everybody else, one step at a time. And if you're not feeding yourself the Word of God, if you're not eating the Word of God and feasting upon it, you're not going to grow. It is an impossibility. Because see, people who build their house on the sand, all they do, they just hear the Word of God. And what's so frightening about this, even though that it's a process for us, if we're building on the rock, it takes a lifetime to do it, one brick at a time. And thank God the builder lives in our heart. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? But that doesn't mean that he's there and he's going to do it all. But he's already done it all. He's waiting for you to obey. Now, here's the problem with sand. When we look at the scriptures that we just covered, both men, the foolish man and the wise man, they both heard the Word of God. They both heard the sayings of Jesus. But here's the difference. The foolish man heard and did not act or obey Jesus' words. That's what Jesus is telling us. My question that I presented to the Lord and to you as well is why? And here's what I think it is. I know. You see, the man who builds his house on sand, he really believes with all of his heart that hearing sermons is enough. See, there are Christians here this morning. You believe that just coming to church, Lord, I've done my duty, I've dropped in a tithe, I met church this morning, I heard your word, and you're out of here. You've done your job. No. No, that's not it at all. That's total deception. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. See, they really, really believe that if I just hear the word, hear a sermon, hear Jesus' word, it's enough. Now listen to me. He didn't believe, this foolish man didn't believe for one second, not for one second, that his house wasn't secure, meaning that he was saved. He didn't doubt it at all. He says, you know, he believed that his house was safe, his house was secure. And he was sincere. But the problem is Jesus said, no, the person who builds his house without me, the person who builds his house without doing what I say to do, it's going to fall. Not only is it going to fall, the fall of it is going to be a great disaster. That's what Jesus just told us. So how can we this morning just make a small application in the closing statements of our Lord and Savior? Well, I want us to do that to find out if we're truly building upon the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. Hold your place in Matthew and just turn to James chapter 1 with me in verse 22. And let's look at something. It says in James 1:22, remember it says there in Matthew in verses 24 and verses 26, Jesus says, these sayings of mine, meaning put these into practice, okay, the Word of God. Now look what James says, James 1:22, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. What is James telling us? He's saying this, to just hear the Word of God and not obey the Word of God is complete deception, just like the man who built his house on the sand. He was sincere. He believed that he was saved. He believed that everything was working out for him. He came to church, you know, but he never, ever obeyed the Lord. He's no different than the people that cried, Lord, Lord. And they just went out and lived any way they wanted to. Oh, yeah, Lord, Lord. We show up at church every Sunday, but we're not building our life. Now, listen, I'm not here to beat on you. I love you. But I am going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to water down what Jesus said. You see, you're going to get in trouble. And listen, you only have, how much time do you think you have in this life? If you're as old as I am, you know, 35, you may have a long time. But if you're not 35 like me, you're in trouble. I thought after last week I'd calm it down a little bit. You know, I don't want to. Do you understand what I mean? How much time do you have? What are you doing in your life? How are you building your life right now? Are you building it your way? If your way is sand. If you're building it God's way, it's joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And that's what it needs to be. Stable, security, peace, love, joy, fruit in your life. And so when we look at this, and if we're not a doer of the Word, James says you're just deceived. Listen, like I said, that guy that's building his house on sand, he really believed that he was safe and secure. And he believed with all of his heart that as long as I hear the Word of God, that's all that's required of me. And James says, and Jesus says the same thing, you're deceived. It doesn't work that way. It has to be obedience. Listen to me, church. I've said this before, but you know what? Billy Graham could walk through these doors and say, Bill, move over and let me teach for a while. I say, thank you, Billy. You bet. Take that pulpit. And he could come up here and say, turn to James 1:22, or even go to the Sermon on the Mount and do what I'm doing right now and expound it and explain it to you. And he could finish doing it. He could sit here and go, James 1:22, be ye a doer of the Word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. Listen, did you know if you're deceived, that means you don't know it? To be deceived means you don't know you're deceived. God wants to wake us up this morning. He wants to make sure everyone, when you leave here this morning, you are building your life by His grace on the rock, and that's Jesus Christ. And you do that by obeying the Word. Now, so when we look at this, and I mean, like I said, Billy Graham could walk in here and say, how about Jesus? Jesus could stand right here and go right through the Sermon on the Mount. But here's the problem. Even though the Lord has said it and He's already told us, even though James in James 1:22 is telling us, you can take what I say on your notes. You can write them down. You can say, this is the title of Bill's message this morning, and these are the points, and so forth. You can write down favorite scriptures and put stick notes all over your house and on your mirrors and refrigerator and on your car and have them all over. But they are absolutely meaningless, church, unless you take those words of God, these sayings of mine, as Jesus said, and put them into practice, apply them to your life. Now, that takes a lifetime, I know, and we're all growing in stages. But the problem with sand just kind of moves any way you want it. Just shifts all the time. It's never permanent. It's not solid. And sand, they just hear the Word of God, but they never make any application to the Word. Now, the Bible says in Revelation 22:14, it says, blessed, that means happy. Oh, how happy. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. Now, it's important that we do not fall prey to those like in the New Testament who honored God with their lips, but their heart was far from him. And that can happen. Listen, you remember in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11? In Hebrews 5, the writer of Hebrews, which I believe to be Paul the Apostle, but it doesn't matter, but he was writing and he said, "These things that I write unto you are hard for me to explain because you have become dull of hearing." Now, the writer of Hebrews was explaining about the high priesthood of Jesus Christ and about the Melchizedek and so forth. And he wanted to go on and he wanted to explain in detail about our Lord and Savior, the great high priest, but he couldn't do it. And he said, "The reason I couldn't do it is not because I'm not smart enough by the Spirit of God. It's because you have become dull of hearing." You know, dullness of hearing is something that has invaded the church today. And I believe part of the problem is the pulpit. It's because the pulpit today in our nation has so watered down the Word of God. They're just trying to build churches and get you in and get the tithes and keep you coming. And, you know, we'll do the rest. And they don't want to provoke you because they know if they preach a little bit too tough, you might not come back. Well, thank God we don't have that problem at Calvary Chapel. Because, see, we're not trying to be a popular church. We're not trying to be a popular church. We're trying to be an effective church. We're trying to be, you know, we're going to all stand before the Lord, and I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to give an account of whether I preached His truth, at least with sincerity or not. And I'm not saying I don't miss it, but I am saying I can stand here today, as I always do, with a sincere heart, believing with all of my heart that I'm preaching God's truth, and I'm not cutting corners. And I'll do it not just for you. I do it for me. I want to please the Lord who saved me. You see, I lived in darkness. You understand? No darkness. I don't want to ever go back there. I don't want to ever live back there again. I don't want to ever be lost and lonely and miserable and lifeless. I don't want to ever be dead in my trespasses and sins again. Never. Never. I don't want to ever go back because there's nothing back there but hell. Amen? And that's why I'm pressing forward. Praise God, I'm looking unto the author and the finisher of my faith, Jesus Christ. And so are you. But we have to understand that if you have dullness of hearing, that means you have lazy ears. And it means you're insensitive to the Word of God. In other words, it doesn't turn you on anymore. God's Word is like, okay, I got to have my quiet time. All right. You know, because Bill's been preaching on it for a week. And if I don't do it, I'm going to feel guilty. No. That's wrong. That's terrible. You have your quiet time. You have your prayer time because you're in love with Jesus. And you want to go talk to your Savior because you know He's real. Listen, you know when people have dullness of hearing, when they're insensitive to the gospel, when the cross of Christ doesn't break their heart, and any time they read about it, or the suffering of Jesus, or what He went through for you and I, you know what the problem is? You and I, or whoever it is, you have lost the supernaturalness of God. He is a supernatural, wonder-working, miracle-working, almighty God. And He is here in our midst this morning. And if we come into His midst with just, okay, let's give the Lord a clap offering, and you don't mean it, God's going, they don't mean it. If you say, somebody says, I'll raise my hands to the Lord, and you raise it, and you don't mean it, God goes, you don't mean it. If you're sitting there singing, and you're just going, okay, let's just, the song, and you don't mean, God goes, hey, they don't mean it. What's happened? It's because we of a people that's been saved, washed in the blood of Jesus, changed, new creations in Christ, translated out of that crummy kingdom that was the power of darkness over into the kingdom of His Son. It means that we're insensitive because we have dullness of hearing and we're no longer hearing God's Word anymore. It doesn't turn us on. It doesn't excite us. When we go and bow our knees in prayer, it's like, okay, Lord, here I am again and I don't even know how to pray. Why? Because of dullness of hearing. And here's the problem in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 is this. The writer said this, "You have become dull in hearing." That scares me. That frightens me. It terrifies me. What? Those words. You have become. Why? Because it means that they didn't used to be that way. It means something has come into their life to where they're no longer hearing God. And listen to me. The moment, church, that we stop hearing God is the moment that we are building our lives off of that rock. And we're starting to go out into the sand thinking, well, it's not so bad out here. It seems stable to me. And you're deceived. Listen, I don't want dullness of hearing to come into your life, and I don't want dullness of hearing to come into my life. I want us to be turned on and excited about Jesus. I want us to be excited about loving one another. I want us to be turned on about loving one another, saying, you know, we love people here. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Now, But when we look back at Matthew, and I look at these right here about the foolish man, when Jesus says, they heard the sayings of mine, but they did not do them. And it says that his house fell, and the fall of that house was great. And I look at that and I say, here is the greatest deception in the church today. Because those people who are building their house on sand, they believe with all of their heart, with true sincerity, that they are safe and secure. Why? Here's the reason. Because sand will support you for a season. Do you understand me? Sand will support you for a season, for just a certain amount of time. And the problem is that as you build your house, listen, I'm speaking to those, if you're here and you're building your house on sand, you better listen to me this morning. I mean that in love when I say that, not as a rebuke. I love you and God loves you and He's trying to say, wake up, stop it, wake up, stop it right now. Listen, how many people in this room, or maybe in the overflow room, or the other two services, how many will be divorced in the next 5 years? Oh, Bill, none of us. I dare say you're wrong. You hear me? And may I tell you that breaks my heart. Because you don't have to be divorced and you don't have to have a family torn apart. And you know why families are being torn apart? It's because they refuse. And usually the man. That's right, sir. Usually the man. You refuse to build your home, your house, your marriage, your life on the Word of God. Well, my daddy did it this way. And your daddy was probably a good man. God didn't tell you to build it the way your daddy did. He said, you build it my way. These sayings of mine. And we look at the Word of God, and the problem is that the people who are building their life on sand, they come to church, they come into the building, and they're good people. They're not out messing around. They're just not doing anything right. In other words, they're not obeying the Lord. And they come and they say, man, that service, that boy, that's a good sermon, Bill. Well, good. Are you going to put into practice what you learned? Well, I don't know about that part, but it was great. I even bought a tape. Well, don't buy a tape unless you're going to say, I'm going to do it. Well, don't waste your money. You know what I'm saying? What is it going to do? Good it's going to do you unless you're going to go pick it up and say, I want to get those points. I'm going to start applying that to my life. That's what we have to do, church. You see, what happens is this, is all of a sudden we start building our life. You get married, been a Christian, say 5 years. By 5 years, you should have your quiet time down. I mean, you should be disciplined in that area. You should study the Word of God daily. That means 7 days a week. Be faithful in church. You don't mess around. You know that it's a commandment to be in church every Sunday, you know, not just when you want to. And you come to worship the Lord because you realize that He has saved you and washed you and cleansed you and you're a new creation in Christ now. But what happens is that you find some pretty lady in the church, or I'm just using men for example, no offense, okay, that's who I'd like to stick with right now. And so men, you come to the church, you know, and you've been turned on for the Lord, you know, and all of a sudden you see her and she sees you and that's that slow motion starts. You start running to one another. And then you get married. And then you keep coming to church. You get busy in your life. Children start coming. And you've continued to build your life. But what you started doing, you started building your life now, not on the rock, not on these sayings of mine, Jesus said, not on the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God and you're agreeing with the Word of God. And you're saying, yes, that's right. I believe that marriage should be this way, blah, blah, blah. But you don't do it. And so what happens is sand will support you for a season. Now that season may be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. It'll support you. And then all of a sudden what happens is this. All of the wrong decisions that you've built your life upon, here's what happens. They become accumulative and they add up. And then all of a sudden you go this direction in your life and your marriage is falling apart. Your finances are falling apart. Your children are falling apart. And everywhere you turn, the storms, the floods, the winds, they're beating you to death. And you don't know what to do. And you come and you walk into my office and say, Bill, what's wrong with my life? And I'm saying, well, tell me what's happening. You say, it's my marriage and this and this. And I said, well, let's just start with your marriage. How long have you been a Christian? 20 years. Okay. And how long have you been married? 15 years. I said, okay, talk to me. What are you doing in your marriage? Tell me what God is showing you. What do you mean? What do you mean what I mean? What kind of problems you having? What does the Bible say for you to do in this situation? Well, what does it say? Well, you didn't hear me, did you? Well, I heard you, but I just don't know where it's at. How long have you been a Christian? 20 years? You don't know where it's at? You ever heard of Ephesians? I think it's in the New Testament. Shoot me, would you? Listen, Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not being critical. I'm not beating on you. I'm not condemning you. I'm not being nasty to you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Man, I'm trying to tell you, get off of this sand. It's going to collapse. Jesus is saying there's a storm coming and it's going to fall. And Jesus said, great is going to be the fall of it. You can't build your life on the sand. It's an impossibility, Christian. And some of your homes right now are in turmoil and you're suffering. Why? Because, sir, you're not obeying the word of God. Well, Bill, you just made my day. Good. Feeling kind of nasty up here, aren't I? I think probably one of the greatest heartaches that a pastor has is when he repeatedly tells a person, sheep, over and over, and he sees it coming, and I'm helpless and hopeless. It's like, I can't help you. Because, and like Jesus saying, I can't help you unless you're going to obey. See, if you're not going to be a doer of the word, if you're just going to be a hearer, okay, but you're deceived. And your house is going to fall. And you're saying, yeah, Bill, but I know people, they come to church and they don't do, you know, but you get to the end of your life, and when you go into eternity, what's going to happen to you then? I'm not going to take that chance. Jesus said this in Luke 6:46. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I ask you to do? I don't want to hear those words in heaven. You know what? I mean, I don't think you're going to make heaven. I mean, I don't want to hear those words. I want him to say, well done. Come on in, Bill. Good man. Get in here. Thank you, Lord. And boy, I'll just do the Pentecostal shuffle all the way through. You understand? But those that are building their life on sand, you're going to fall. Your lives are going to fall apart. Your finances are going to get in trouble. If you're not training your children, if you're not being obedient to the Lord right now, dads, you know what? In your bulletin, right there, I put one in this week, Family Night Activity. I'm going to be talking more about these things later on. We're working on a new system right now as I speak here at Calvary Chapel about family devotions. But the problem is, or did you even know it was in there? Do you even care if it's in there? Don't. I'm not trying to be a mean pastor. I'm just telling you my heart breaks. Because if you're going to, your kids deserve better than that. Your kids deserve better than sand. They deserve to be raised in a house of a godly home with a godly mother and a godly father. And they need to see a man and a woman bow their knees in their home and say, we love Jesus, son. We love Jesus and we want you to love Jesus. If you're not doing that, pray tell, what in the name of God are you doing? You're just playing with sandcastles and you're building a funny little house and it's not going to stand. And if it makes you feel guilty, it's okay with me. I'll do anything to get you to start doing those things, to start serving God. That's what we need. That's what the Church of America needs today, is to get back to the rock and standing on that rock. But people are deceived. Now listen, they were astonished at Jesus' teaching in verse 28. They were astonished. Why? Because Jesus taught them as one having authority. Those scribes and Pharisees, all they did was just, when they taught, they would quote other rabbis or other scribes. But no, Jesus was God. They were astonished that a 33-year-old carpenter could stand in their midst and expound the word of God. He wasn't a Pharisee. He wasn't a scribe. Are you astonished at the Sermon on the Mount? You see, being a doer of the word, that means turning the other cheek sometimes. That, you know what I mean? You see, it means for us to love our enemies. Do you understand? That's not a pleasant thing to do. It means to love our enemies, to pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. So why? So that you can be sons of the highest. Be just like him. We have a job to do. And if you're building your life on sand, you're going to fall apart because you're just hearing the word of God. You're not doing the word of God. Church, listen. Matthew Henry said this. He said, none so deaf that will not hear. Jesus said in Mark 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. I want everyone to do something for me. With your two hands, I want you to reach up and see if you have anything right here. Okay. Do you have ears to hear this morning? Okay, now listen to me. Hearing and doing, that is not two acts. It is one act. And if you will remember that, to hear and to do is one act. In other words, if I ask Vanessa, would you do me a favor, honey? Would you stand up? Thank you very much. Now, did you see that? Vanessa, would you please sit down? Thank you. I didn't mean to embarrass her, but let me ask you a question. Listen, she stood up. I asked her, Vanessa, to stand up, and I asked her to sit down. It was one act. Vanessa, stand up. Don't do that, but Vanessa, stand up. She stood up. Hearing and doing. Yeah, that's the same way it is with the Word of God. You know, it's Sunday. What does that mean? Hey, it means Hebrews 10, 25 and 26, not forsaking ourselves together as the habit of some is. In other words, come on in. We're going to have fellowship. It's church day. You see, it means you get up out of bed. You come to church. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Men will come and give into your bosom. It's about giving unto the Lord, giving your tithes, giving your offerings, giving your life. It means serving Him. How many of you in this room have gifts, and yet you're not serving Him? Listen, I'm praying right now on what nation God wants me to go to. I'm serious. After the church was paid for, I told the Lord, I said, that was my plan, and I believe it was God's plan. And just like I told Becky this morning early, I said, I believe now God is speaking to my heart saying, okay, go to the nations. Maybe it's China. Maybe some of you might want to come with me if that's where the Lord sends me. I mean, I'm going to come back. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's time for us to start. You know, what are you going to do in your life? Well, I'm just going to stay on the sand. You're going to fall. You're going to have a miserable life. Because you're building your life and you think you're secure and you're not. Hearing and doing, church, is one act. One act. When you go to Mark, read Mark 4:13 and following. When you read that, Jesus talks about those that have a hard heart and a shallow heart and a crowded heart and a fruitful heart. And you know what? All of the people, they all heard the word of God, but only the fruitful heart welcomed it. Matter of fact, just turn to Mark. And let me close with that one scripture. Mark 4:20. Look what Jesus explained, the parable of the sower, but look at just at the last verse. He said, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word of God. They hear it. And what do? They accept it. That word in the Greek means to welcome it. In other words, come on in. They want the word of God. They welcome it into their hearts. And look at the fruit. And they bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Why? Everybody in this parable, all of them heard the word of God. Maybe your hearts are like that this morning. Maybe your heart is a hard heart. You're just, you know, rigid against God. Maybe you're mad at God. I don't know. And the devil comes in and steals everything from you. That's what it says in this parable. Or perhaps your heart is shallow, meaning it's just the emotional here. Oh, I'm going to start. I heard what Bill says today, and I believe it. I'm going to start my prayer time. I'm going to really start obeying. And then you do it for a week. But when trials and tribulations, when the winds and the flood starts coming, you know, because of persecution, you say, well, I can't do it anymore. Or maybe you have a crowded heart. In other words, the cares of this world, you're so consumed with your job instead of your family. You're so consumed with money instead of your children. You're so consumed with the things of this life and not Jesus that the cares of the world come in and crowd out Jesus and He's pushed out. But maybe you have a fruitful heart. And those are the ones who hear the Word of God and welcome it into their heart. They obey the Word of God. They do it. Hearing and doing is one act. Let me ask you a question as I close this morning. Only you know if you're just a hearer, meaning I just hear God's word. I don't do God's word ever. I have a Bible in my home, but you know what, Bill? I never open it. I don't do any of the things. I show up in church. My wife drags me to church sometimes, or maybe it's vice versa. I don't know. You know what? Today, why don't you quit playing in the sand? And why don't you get over on the rock? Jesus is asking you to do that. He's closed out His sermon now. He's given you a choice because you could only build two types of houses. That's it. The one on the sand, it's going to fall, or the one that's founded upon the rock, that nothing that beats against it will ever, ever destroy it.